There appeared to Jesus a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he had laid his hands on her, immediately she stood straight and began praising God. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Today we hear the gospel story as a challenge of living into healing. There's so many times in our lives where we're like that woman, bent over and unable to look up and see the sun. We know only the dust and dirt under our feet. Today, Jesus calls to the woman to look up, to stand up straight, and to step into largeness. The challenge of living into our healing can help us uncover the realities and possibilities in our ministries. It can open doors to rooms in our lives that we have kept closed shut, firmly closed shut. Standing up straight and living into largeness can encourage us to walk through doors to discover grace, hope, and judgment. And I want to talk about the grace and the hope and the judgment. We can develop the ability, if we stand up straight, to assess and reassess our witness in the world and what direction we're going and what direction God would have us go. It's interesting where this passage in Luke comes in the Gospel of Luke. It comes after the end of the age passages, and it comes after the parable of the fig tree. It comes after Jesus says, "I will place mother against daughter and son against father and father against son," and then the parable of the fig tree just before this parable. If you remember the parable of the fig tree is not producing fruit. And someone asks to cut it down, actually commands to cut it down. And the response is, "No, let it alone for another year. Give it time." Then this parable comes, and directly after this parable is the parable of the mustard seed, where the smallest of seeds can grow into a large tree, a parable of hope and possibility. The parable before gives possibility but also judgment, the parable of the fig tree. The initial response is to cut it down, it is worthless. What might all these parables in the Gospel of Luke be saying about our lives, about grace and hope and judgment? And for that, I would look at the call of Jeremiah. This is a passage often read at ordinations or the beginning of new ministries. And it's an interesting piece of a call. There are usually five or four parts of a call in the biblical histories. First, there is God's initiating word. Samuel is called by God, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." But then the second part of the call is the objection. And we all like to object when God calls. "Then I said, 'Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy.'" And with that, Jeremiah joins Moses and Elijah and many, many folks in the call process saying, "No, not me, I'm not called." And then in the call of Jeremiah is something that doesn't always happen in call stories in the Bible, but I think happens in our lives. There's the chastisement or the judging voice of God. "But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all those to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you.' So he objects, but God says, no, no, you're called. And then there's the glorious, graceful reassurance, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And the Lord puts out his hand and touches my mouth. And then the Lord commissions Jeremiah. Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. The initiating word of God, our objection, God's chastisement or judgment, reassurance, and commitment. And I think that chastisement is very important, and it has been in my life. One of the books that I've been reading while I'm away has been James Hollis's What Matters Most, Living a Considered Life. He is the therapist, a Jungian therapist, and he quotes Carl Jung's favorite proverb of his own. We walk in shoes too small for us. We walk in shoes too small for us. And anyone who's worn new shoes or shoes that are too small for you know what that means. You're in pain. You're constricted. You just want to get those shoes off no matter what. Living small in shoes too small for us is easier than living in largeness. And what I believe Jesus means about living large, about having the woman stand up, is not a narcissistic inflation of self, but a call, a daily summons to risk being who we are in the larger world. Hollis, in his book, talks about a man who was 70 years old and retiring from his profession. And what beckoned him, retirement, which seemed to promise peace, stepping down from pressures, offering freedom to pursue his longtime interests, proved to be problematic for this man. It seemed that in the decades of faithfully serving the expectations of his family, his church, his profession, he essentially lost contact with his own needs, his own instinctual reality. Like so many people, this man did not feel an essential permission to be who he was, desire what he wanted in retirement, and pursue what his soul deeply wanted. How incredible this was, Hollis said, that this man lived a productive life, was approved of by his family and his culture, and he achieved every conscious goal that he set out to do, but still felt he had no permission to be who he was. He looked at the dirt and the dust. He was bent over. He gave himself no permission to look up, stand up, and see the large world all around. These passages cause me to think, who am I apart from my role? Who am I apart from my history and assigned script? Why am I here, really? And it's often the chastising word, not the initial call or the reassuring word or the pat on the back. It's often the chastising hard word that wakes you up to see that you are more than a role or a job. Sometimes the chastising word allows us to stop, take it in, and see that we are called into the world in larger ways. For those of you that face surgery, having the surgery opens you to a larger world, a larger medical world. And for those who have had chemotherapy or treatment, often you find amazing people in the next chair as you're receiving treatment. You would never have met them but for the treatment, but for stepping into that larger world of which you wish that you could close the door to. On Friday here, right here in Memorial, we had a wedding at 4 p.m. on a Friday afternoon on a hot summer, humid day. And it was one of those that I could easily not have done and said no to. It was a couple who had found us on the website, who were tangentially related to Maryland, the bride was from Fort Washington and had been in Baltimore before. The husband was from Ireland, from Dublin, and they live in Toronto. And I was emailed by her and asked if I would consider doing their wedding, because they wanted to get married in this country and have a place that all the Irish family from Dublin could come to and all the family from Maryland. And it was important for the bride to be married in Maryland because her mother died a few years ago of breast cancer, and she wanted to be on Maryland soil. So I said, yes, but we'll have to do premarital conversations, and we did some of those in person. And then when her husband, or her husband-to-be, started having immigration problems, we did it by Skype. Those of you know what Skype is. We did premarital conversations by Skype. And there were times where I wondered, should I be doing this? They don't come on Sunday. We probably won't see them on Sunday for a long time, if ever. Why would I do this? But I decided to step into the larger life of what I do as a priest. And it was an amazing, amazing event. Thursday evening, there was a big reception dinner at Phillips called a welcoming dinner from the Irish tradition. And many people in the groom's family were Irish musicians. And so we gathered at Phillips Seafood House outside of the Inner Harbor. They brought fried chicken and corn, and then came the steamed crabs. And I sat by the Irish mother who was trying to figure out how do you eat a steamed crab with a mallet. And it was, and I heard, and stories were told. And then on Friday, which completely threw me off because I thought it should be Saturday, so I thought it was Saturday all Friday because it was a wedding. We had this wedding here with all the fans going and all the family here, and then a reception at Westminster Hall. And at the piano was the sister of the groom who played Irish folk tunes for processional and recessional with a little U2 thrown in. And they had nieces playing the concertinas and another niece playing the violin. And then we had the bride's family remembering the mother. And it was an amazing, amazing piece. And I read as part of the homily the Rilke poem about, I live my life in growing orbits which move over the world. And I think that God calls us again and again to step into that larger life. Wherever we are, whatever our roles are, we're called to step into something larger than we think we're capable of. We often say no, and then when we hear, no, I really think you should do it, and even firmer than that in some way, take a chance and step forward. So I ask you, as we approach this new program year, what would that largeness of life look like for you this fall? Is it a treatment you've been needing to get? Is it a ministry that you need to walk into? Where are you called to stand up straight, and look outwards to say, yes, God, I'm ready. Show me the way. Amen.